I'm a cult of personality. I ask for you, do you love me? I tell you what it wants, it's free. Oh, I'm a cult of personality.
Actually, I am Justin Oldham, and you're listening to an ATS member podcast supported by AboveTopSecret.com. For the sake of those very diligent computers over at the Department of Homeland Security that might be scanning this file, I'd like to say that this digital recording was made on July 16th of 2007. For the next 10 minutes, I'd like to kick around a hypothetical question that has been put to me by more than a dozen ATS members. This very scary question is as follows. If President Bush decided to stay in office after his constitutionally mandated second term was up, how might he do it? Now, there are several ways that such a scary scenario could go down, but for the sake of this podcast, I'm only going to devote my attention to just one possible hypothetical option. I just need to stress, for the benefit of my many fans out there in the Secret Service, that this is purely a hypothetical discussion. As I make this recording, President Bush is headed for a constitutional showdown with Congress over the issue of federal subpoenas and executive privilege. Since January of 2007, there have been several investigations underway, most of them taking place in the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reforms and in the Senate Judiciary Committee. When the Democrats took over majority control at the end of November 2006, the House and the Senate immediately began to dig into electioneering irregularities associated with the 2004 election and some predicated instances of wrongdoings that go back to the 2000 elections. Members of the House Oversight Committee were thrown for a loop when President Bush ordered his staffers to refuse questions relating to the firing of seven U.S. attorneys. As we plowed through both of these issues in April, May, and June of 2007, the committee chair for the House Oversight Committee, which was Representative Henry Waxman, issued a subpoena to Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez to question him about a wide variety of things: the domestic spying program, the firing of the U.S. district attorneys, and certain policy matters relating to torture and immigration. Attorney General Gonzalez turned out to be the first in a long list of presidential staffers who have come to Capitol Hill and wasted a lot of the taxpayers' time to say nothing. In the month of June, while we were hearing pointless testimony from people such as Monica Goodling, we were all shocked and surprised to discover that Scooter Libby was not going to go to jail. When the president made noises about the unfairness of the sentence that Scooter got, I don't think anybody expected what was going to happen at the end of that month, which was, of course, the commutation of Louis Libby's sentence. The entire 30 months of that sentence were entirely erased, and this happened even before the man got his appeal. Within the last week, former presidential staffer Harriet Myers was subpoenaed by the House Oversight Committee, and she did not show for her appointed hearing date. This one specific event is really what's got a lot of people talking, because now that Harriet didn't show, the House has got to make up its mind. Are they going to charge her? Are they going to cite her? Or are they just going to let this whole thing blow over? Now, for those who don't know, a federal subpoena is like a writ or a summons. When Congress calls, you must come. If you do not show up when you're asked to be there, you can be held in contempt. Now, what most people don't know about is that there's two different types of contempt. There's a contempt citation, which is little more than a slap on a wrist. It's kind of like the warning a cop gives you when you're caught speeding. The other possible action is what's called a charge of inherent contempt. And this is the one that has legal teeth. Anyone who is charged with inherent contempt risks being put on trial by the House of Representatives, or the matter can be referred to the federal court system, to which event it could go as high as the Supreme Court if the appeals are made. Within the context of American politics, this is pretty heavy stuff. Not only did Harriet Myers blow off her subpoena, but she did so because she was given a letter from the President of the United States telling her that she did not need to obey the will of Congress. Now, let's be crystal clear about one thing. Just because the President sent her a letter and told her that she didn't need to show up and answer the questions doesn't mean that that was lawful. Now, break out your tinfoil hat, because here comes the good part. If the House of Representatives only cites her for contempt and does not charge her with inherent contempt, it'll be pretty much the same as if they had decided to do nothing at all, because there will be no legal penalty. If there is no legal penalty, then we are at risk of establishing a new legal precedent. A legal precedent is essentially an unwritten rule. And when a precedent has been in effect for a long time, it almost carries the weight of tradition. You've heard people say, well, that's the way we've always done it. Most of the time that happens in an office environment because of a precedent that was established. If the House of Representatives does not find her in inherent contempt, Mrs. Myers will be responsible for setting an entirely new precedent that all future presidents will be able to make use of whenever they darn well please. If this Bush maneuver is not challenged in a court of law, then it'll be the new standard, which means that when she takes office, if Hillary decides that she wants to ignore a federal subpoena that's issued to any of her people, all she's got to do is whip out her pen, write them a letter, and say, you're excused, you don't have to do this. And this is very dangerous. If the new rule is that a president can negate a federal subpoena, then we're at risk of future presidential assertions which are predicated on this new standard. The worst possible outcome could be that a future president could decide that there's something hinky in the election process, and if they decide to exert the authority of the unitary executive or claim some other privilege based on the rule that comes out of this Myers thing, they could decide to stay in office. Imagine, if you will, that terrible moment when you pick up your TV remote, turn on CNN, and there's President Bush saying that because of certain irregularities which cropped up in the November 2008 elections, he feels obliged to stay in office until these things can be investigated and dealt with. If the Congress does not challenge the Bush assertion in court now, they may not be able to mount a legal challenge to this future hypothetical incident. If any future sitting president decided to overstay their welcome for a third unconstitutional term, they might very well rely on the snarled up federal court system to stall so that they have 1, 2, 3 more years in office before the Supreme Court renders a decision. Now, the most immediate and obvious question that you're going to ask right about now is, why wouldn't the Democrats challenge this in court? At the national level, the Democratic Party's leadership may opt to let Ms. Myers walk so that this new rule is in place when their candidate takes office in 2009. If you want to look at this from a cynical point of view, the Democrats are rising to power. They are soon to acquire veto-resistant majorities in the House and the Senate. They're going to hold the White House. So why wouldn't they like to have this tasty little option available for them? Now, this is a pretty scary hypothetical, but it is still nonetheless hypothetical. So even if you just got to sleep with the lights on tonight, remember that this was only theory. And that brings us to the end of our ATS member podcast, supported by AboveTopSecret.com. Have yourself a good day.